everybody, Chris here, and I'm excited to have with me Israel Nunez. Israel runs the beta program for Universal Robots, and he started off with support, but he ended up managing the entire program. Israel serves teams like product management, quality assurance, support, anybody in the company, you name it. He's got the insights to help everybody improve their products. Israel, thanks for joining us. Now, I'd love to hear the story about how you started the beta program.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris. I always like chatting with you over the years and talking about the beta program at Universal Robots. It's a long story, so I'll try to do it justice. So I've been with UR now a little bit over 6 years, 6.5 years. And it's always been facing externally with partners and developers that work with our suite of products. So what we are, we're an industrial robotics company that makes six-axis robots for manufacturing. Could be like picking and placing, welding, different kinds of industrial automation applications. And we started the beta program, I want to say we started investigating back in 2021, and then officially kicked it off in 2022. But it all started with the aspect of managing our partners and our developers that work on our system. So we have a pretty open architecture on our robot. So it's a big hardware product, but also a lot of big software component to it. It's very open source in a way that they can develop on our system to make solutions for their customers, which are usually businesses. So my role at the time was kind of helping them figure out how they can use our system. So they had their business, they knew their product really well, they wanted to integrate with us for these solutions. So they had to figure out, okay, not just on the hardware side, how can I integrate with Universal Robots, but also how can our software integrate so to the customer it looks like, you know, one seamless solution that uses both our robot and their product to solve one problem. That took a lot of alignment with several of their teams and several of our teams. And of course, we push out updates regularly, so there's a big headache on, okay, how are we going to keep our growing network of partners up to date with changes that we're doing in our system? And we had this looming big platform update that was coming in at the time of when we started the program in a year or two. So, you know, we started investigating, okay, like what's something we can do to make sure they're ready and make sure that we're ready for this big change. So we started looking up potential solutions. That's where we found you guys at Center Code, and we really liked the product, and we knew that we had to do a more like professional official program around this if we were going to manage this large group of partners. So to give like a context to how big it was, we were working with over 300 companies globally. So it's very important that we are able to manage in a scalable way, you know, when we have software updates, communicate those changes. And then also, a plus was getting feedback to make sure that we were ready and that the quality of the software met the needs of these developers. So it all started back then. It seems like forever, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, a couple of years, 2-3 years, not too much, but that's kind of the root of all the beta program stuff that's been going on at Universal Robots.
Yeah. And how did you stumble into it? Why you? Why did you run the program?
Yeah, I think originally it was someone in our product market management organization had a demo scheduled with you guys, and they're looking at it from a different lens. But I caught whiff of that this demo was happening with a tool that could be used to capture feedback. And right away, you know, I got very excited into joining that conversation. I think the use case for me was really big because we did spend a lot of time traveling to these partners, so we got to build relationships with them, and I knew their frustration of not knowing, you know, when our next software update was going to be, you know, what the scope of that software was going to be. And we did our best, right? It just was hard to manage in a scalable way that communication out to so many individuals. Then we also had the problem where, you know, you could tell somebody in the C-suite level of a company, you know, this is what's coming, but how do you make sure that that company then communicates that to all their software developers in the correct way and all the testers and everybody who's going to be using the product on a day-to-day basis? You know, how do you communicate to that level? So it was right away, I saw a big opportunity to partner up with a product product management, and leverage this tool to create a more formal beta program. Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear about the early days. You're a couple years in now, a little more developed, but I'd love to hear about some of those growing pains, those things of just getting started. Like, what did you have to go through to get to where you are today?
Yeah, it was definitely very different than we are today. And it was a lot scarier. I think there's a risk, right, that it wasn't going to work as I had envisioned it. I always knew, you know, it's a big missing piece of the puzzle to what we had at the time. So there's no doubt that there's a need for it and that it would be very beneficial to their company. But it was challenging to kind of communicate that to every all the stakeholders, and let them see the big picture of how, you know, having a beta program using a tool like CenterCode could help in a scalable way us manage such a large ecosystem of companies we work with. But I think, you know, early on it was a lot of grassroots stuff. We had to work with people, explain the concepts, and it was a lot of more went into buy-in than nowadays, where nowadays everyone's familiar with the program. They know the benefits of what running a beta test means specifically for us here at this company. Where before it was a lot of convincing people to help me help you kind of thing, which is great. You know, everyone wants to be, at the end of the day, we all have, you know, very similar goals, like make sure we get quality software releases, quality products out to our partners. But it was hard to align on the lower level stuff. It's like, okay, well, in order to do that, we should probably test, you know, for a few weeks before we release the product, and they already had their timeline set in place. So it was a lot of convincing them that this was actually going to help them and not slow them down or get them off track with you know, the work they had already pre-planned previously.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a way, like I like to mention convincing as almost like internal marketing, right? Like, how are we going to convince this group that they need to or should be doing it, maybe doing beta a certain way, or they should be investing in the program and getting some more attention into it. So I'd love to hear some of your tactics on how are you marketing your program and yourself internally to convince all of your stakeholders?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think it changes depending on, you know, the stakeholders. But I would say it kind of reminds me early on to when we were trying to convince the, you know, product organization, both R&D and product management, that, you know, this was a good idea to have it more formalized and structure it in the launch, you know, cycle of a product. I would bring up a lot of quotes we had through scouring like Reddit or other public forums, and just first I had to, you know, convince them we had a problem. So you know, I had spent a lot of time dialoguing with these companies, so I kind of had a gut feeling, but it's one thing for me to know and then try to communicate that to our developer team, who doesn't necessarily speak with our external partners or customers frequently. So I brought up a lot of quotes that were, you know, around our quality, compatibility with these third-party devices, and, you know, also a lot of, like, historic support cases where we would run into, you know, this person didn't know that they needed an update or that there was an update. And they're, you know, a lot of questions coming up on, oh, is this fix getting implemented? If so, when? So it was a lot of digging and trying to analyze, you know, this is the actual problem we're trying to solve. And I think what was nice is a lot of people, there wasn't a lot of pushback because they were really interested in knowing what the customers were dealing with, what our developers, partner developers were dealing with. And I think there wasn't a good tool for them to use to get that besides like flying and visiting customers, which isn't, you know, super budget friendly. So it was nice for them because I remember my first few trips to work with R&D, there were a lot of questions when like, oh, how is this specific feature that I had worked on in the past being used by these partner companies? And to me, it was surprising. And, you know, I work with these partners every day and I'm like, oh yeah, I can tell you exactly, you know, what they've told me. So that's when I realized there's also a communication that improvement we could do at Universal Robots to let our developers know, hey, you know, the things you're actually working on do matter. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, care about it working well and want to see it keep improving. So I think it also, because of that, you know, there's a lot of buy-in on the developer level in R&D where they actually wanted to see and ask questions and know, you know, what the gaps were on what they're working on every day.
Yeah. It's interesting to me of like what I heard you say, and I'll repeat it back to clarify, is there was a gap in knowledge and access to that information. And by having something like this program, I know you are a resource to be able to amplify it back. Like it was bringing that voice into development and giving the communication of what customers are saying to those development teams and to those product teams where it might not have been there previous.
Exactly. Yeah. At least not to the same scale. There's a lot of people that weren't, that were asking those questions on, okay, how is this thing I worked on for, you know, X number of months or years, doing out in the field. And, yeah, it was shocking for me to think that they didn't have that information. Cause I would put myself in their shoes. If I had worked on something, you know, countless hours, I would also want to know, you know, after the fact, you know, was it worth it? Should we keep, you know, making it better? Was it a bust? Should I move into like working on focusing on something else? So I could 100% understand that. So it also helped me, you know, gain better like rapport with them, I guess. We are trying to solve a very similar problem now where I really wanted them to know the feedback from the people using the software, and they were also really wanted to know also. So it was easy to kind of bridge that and figure out, okay, so we both want the same thing. Let's figure out a way that, you know, we can make it work for everybody.
Yeah, I definitely have some old war stories about we had a beta program and we'd bring the data to teams and we'd get a lot of pushback. One of the challenges with beta is that you're kind of creating work, right? Like you find the bug or you find enhancements that need to happen and you're just giving that getting that data from your customers or from users and bringing that into development, but it's creating more work, more things for them to review. Sometimes you're calling it ugly and they've got some stuff that they need to improve. And that often causes walls to go up, right? Like where they're maybe a little bit resistant to receive that feedback. And I love what you said about like, we have the same goal. We're trying to solve this problem and I have access to information that can help you, which in turn helps me, which in turn helps our customers. So I think that's a very powerful story to tell.
Yeah, and it's a very unique role within our company too. You know, we created it. So my official title is beta program manager, and I don't think that's a common industry term. So it's weird because it's like a weird little spot where, you know, I'm not actually developing our products. So I kind of have to make sure I communicate, you know, the needs of our customers to our developers. And I also have to help our developers, you know, communicate the value they're trying to give the partners or the testers, externally. So it's kind of a weird spot, but you know, I've been doing it now for a couple of years, and I think it's really unique because you get to see both sides of it, and kind of interesting because they both want to help each other out. They just need to figure out a way to make it easy for everyone to work together.
Great. All right. And I'd like to shift it just a little bit. So we've been talking about, we'll say convincing, but really, you know, shedding light on stuff. And we're talking mostly about the teams that we interact with that have to improve that product. So developers, product managers, maybe some user experience teams. Now, what are some tactics that you have to go higher than that, to say executive levels? You have a beta program. There's an investment to that beta program. For example, the tools that you use, time, products, like those are all things that go into this investment. So what tactics do you have to get buy-in from an executive level?
Yeah, no, that's a great question because I think it's very different, but it's very much needed to have a successful program. Not the only tactic, but you know, one thing that I like to use recently was, now that it's more established, and I work closely on the developer side with our product management team to show value there. This one time is like I remember this story where our R&D is in Denmark. So I was in Denmark, and the president of the company was getting coffee, and we were all sitting around, and one of the product managers came up to me and was trying to say, "Oh, you know, the program is great. You know, we're doing XYZ with it. We got this feedback, and we're gonna get this other feedback in a year, and we're going to compare it, and it's going to help us, you know, improve our features, make sure we're on the right direction." And I stopped him, you know, halfway through, and I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait 1 second. Let's go walk next to the president and tell him together." So I think it's good to for me to say it's great and brings value, but then also, you know, all the different teams using it to also be saying the same message. So I think that's really important. And I also really like to highlight that in more formal presentations and say, okay, this is our internal user profiles. You know, these are the teams using it. These are the projects we're running, so that they can see, you know, how influential it is in our products and how many different kinds of teams and different product types are being used in our beta program. And it's also cool to show, you know, the size of the community. So with Center Code, it makes it easy to manage large scale tests. So it's easy for me to go in and get the data and say, you know, this is how our community has grown over the years. This is how engaged our community is. And this is, you know, the kind of feedback we've been getting, and it's always good. We've only had a few major tests, but it's always good to show like the big flagship product and say, you know, these are our key learnings after the fact, and present that and say, especially now that we got buy-in to start the program, now I want to keep showing value and saying, okay, this is how the program has impacted the roadmap, or this is how we've caught some quality issues before launch or verified some assumptions. So I think stuff like that is always important.
Yeah, I know we met before, and showing those numbers, telling those stories, like what's the tool that you use? Are you using a presentation? Is it an email, like an update, a Slack message or a Teams message? What are you using?
I guess I'm old school in the way where I think the presentations, and when I can do it in person, I try, because I think it's hard. That's one of my biggest challenges, actually, is trying to communicate, you know, tell the full story of how the beta program, you know, is doing and how it's beneficial. So I think the more I can be in person and show like the facts and figures, but put a story to it and say why it's important. There's always these anecdotes here and there where we get either through interviews from people participating in the beta program, or we get text survey response, which is hard to just throw in a slide and glom, go by. So there's a lot of wins in there where, we'll get quotes like, "Oh, this is like shows that you guys are committed to quality and that you're very innovative." And there's sometimes their business, a lot of times their business depends on, that we make quality products too. So they're extremely bought in and, love the fact that we're including these companies in a program that lets them view our roadmap, who give feedback, and we're active in answering questions. So there's a lot of good anecdotes and stories that we can also show, because I think data is a little tricky where, the data could say we're doing great because our community is growing, but if we can tie that also to the voice of those testers that also, say the same thing, where like, this is valuable, this is useful, I think that helps paint the big picture. And then I deliver those better in person, but I'll always send reports on the status of things. I always question how many people actually read those, but but yeah, I think there's multiple ways to do it.
Okay, now here I'm going to experiment with something on the podcast. I have a series of rapid fire questions, and rapid will be a loose explanation of it. So I'm going to hit a couple questions for you, and I'd love your quick take on them, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. All right. Describe beta in 1 to 3 words.
Beta in 1 or 3 words. I would say essential. And I would say, yeah, maybe I'll say essential. Essential
Cool.
to product launches, yeah. That's like I think you can't, it has to be there in some way, some form or function. So I think the more structured and managed, the better.
Right. Most challenging thing to do in beta.
Besides everything, let's see. I would say for me, it's communicating the results. We don't have issues with recruiting because the partners are very bought into our product and depend on it functioning and using it in order to present a combined solution. So my main issue is, communicating the data in a clean and easy way for our product management teams to digest and take action.
Easiest thing to do in beta.
Tell other people what to do, So I think, since I don't build the stuff, I just got to make sure it gets built in time. So I think managing the timelines to make sure that's also, sorry, I know this should be faster, but it's also
No,
good
just
that, I think one unintended consequence is when you get ready for a beta, you are also kind of checking off a lot of the stuff you need for launch. So it helps us to make sure, documentation is ready and, our support for the product is ready enough, and that, our release notes and everything is there to help the tester. So I think getting all those teams to pull in the same direction and making sure that, deliverables make it in on time. I think that's easy because it's outside of scope of the work I do. So it's just, telling people what to do, I guess.
one misconception about beta.
I would say that the product doesn't have to be fully complete. I've seen a lot of people want to run betas where the product is more of an alpha or less, more prototypey. So I think in my opinion, a beta should be very, very close to what you're going to go to market with. And I think sometimes, everything is lumped into beta, like research, prototype. So I think that's at least one of them.
What is your favorite thing about beta?
My favorite thing is, you know, it's a way for me to tell our own organization that we can improve without, you know, it being my own words. So I like that part of it.
Coffee or tea?
I would say tea. I was a huge coffee drinker, and then I had to back off recently. So I'm really into chai right now.
Okay. How do you unwind?
I'm a competitive weightlifter too. So for me, it's, you know, going to the gym and lifting weights. I think that's the way to relieve stress for sure.
And what are you watching right now on TV or on streaming services or anything?
Well, I'll blame my wife on this one, but, you know, Love is Blind on Netflix is pretty, pretty interesting right now. That's got us pretty hooked.
All right. Last one. Best piece of advice you've been given.
Yeah. Surrounding beta or in life? Dude, that's just a pretty deep question. I think, let's see. I think, you know, start with the end in mind is a big one. It's in a lot of books, a lot of different podcasts I listen to. And it's mostly remembering what the main goal is that you're doing. I think that makes it, makes the little questions and the little tasks that come up a lot easier to make decisions and to manage. So I think it's always important to know, you know, where you're going, whether it be like the beta program or just, you know, your day-to-day life stuff, you know, what's important and what matters.
All right. It's been great talking with Israel. I really appreciate you coming on. I think the viewers are going to have a great time listening to it. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.